You are listening to a sermon by Jim Murphy, recorded on Sunday, December 3, 2023, at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Over the years, I've come to realize that the greatest trap in our life is not success, popularity, or power, but self-rejection. Success, popularity, and power can indeed present a great temptation, but their seductive quality often comes from the way they are part of a much larger temptation to self-rejection. When we've come to believe in the voices that call us worthless and unlovable, then success, popularity, and power are easily perceived as attractive solutions. The real trap, however, is self-rejection. Henry Nouwen, Life of the Beloved. The truth is, you were created for glory. Glory, infinite inherent worth. It's waiting for you in a relationship. It's a relationship with the creator of the universe, the one that fills your deepest need for love and connection. To gain that connection, you need some wisdom to understand the depths of your heart, what it longs for most, and how to get it. Wisdom is to know who God is, and therefore who you are, what he's doing in the world, and how you can join in. Because when you join in with what he's doing, you'll experience beauty and joy like you've never seen before. Wisdom is the greatest thing that you could ever seek, and it's directly linked to what are, in my experience, the top two traits of a heart that's been grabbed hold by God: humility and compassion. Humility is the springboard for compassion, and compassion is the product of love. And when you love, you become like God. In the book Inner Excellence, humility is defined as an accurate view of self, to see yourself as you really are. It's to realize that every good thing in your life was given to you, and even if you worked 15 hours a day for a decade or two, your ability to do that was also given to you. To be humble is to realize that you're so flawed that God had to die for you, and so valuable that he was willing to do it. Humility is the foundation of wisdom that allows you to give up your old story, the one that's held you back, the one that said you're somebody because of what you've done, or nobody because of what you haven't. In order to give up your past and grab hold of the life you were created for, you need humility so you're able to align yourself with the fundamental law of the universe. Cling to your life and lose it. Give up your life for others and gain it. To give up your life for others is to have compassion. It literally means to suffer with. A heart that's been grabbed hold by God has a heart like God's, and his heart is broken for all the suffering in the world. With his broken heart, he gave everything he had, all his resources, his very life, to humans who rejected him. A Christian disciple, that is, a disciplined learner, is one who sees Jesus in his enemies and the sick and the needy, and does what Jesus did. He joined with them in their pain, intangibly loved and served them. In order to have compassion, we must have humility. Otherwise, we'll never allow God the space and time necessary to transform our hearts to be compassionate like his. Heart transformation is the essence of maturity, to go from a heart that's constantly self-protecting and comparing to one that's serving and sharing. It's understanding that the best possible life, a life of glory, has one foot in joy and one foot in suffering. There's two things that keep us from having compassion: entitlement and busyness. And they both essentially come from one thing: self-centeredness. Self-centeredness, it's human nature, constantly thinking of yourself all the time. How many of you thought about what you were going to have for breakfast today? And how you're going to spend your Sabbath? And perhaps, whoever the guy is speaking today, would it be worth your time? Self-centered is often revealed in self-reliance, and because we rely on ourselves, we get busy, And when we're busy relying on ourselves, we move into self-protection to guard all that we've built. This becomes entitlement, the often subconscious sense that you should have things, like your desires, they should be met. I mean, you're doing your tasks and projects for good reasons, right? And not having to suffer. Your good intentions mean you shouldn't suffer, right? And being happy, isn't that part of this life? Because of our self-centeredness, we're too busy to suffer with others. Compassion interrupts life, presenting itself when we don't have time for it. Rarely does someone schedule in a time that works for us, when their car breaks down, or they leave their purse at the hockey rink, or they just lost their job, or even, sadly, a bomb gets dropped on their building. It takes a slowed down life, where you're pursuing those opportunities to join in with the suffering, not trying to avoid them. This can only be done if the realities of heaven and its infinite abundance are constantly in front of you and around you. It takes a life directed by faith, not by sight, so you can walk in love, not fear. To be in a hurry and to be compassionate cannot go together. It's one or the other. Either you ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life, or you'll get busy again and have no time for compassion. When we're busy, it's so easy to look at the immense need in the world and think, I'd love to help, but I've got my own problems. And besides, I just don't have time. Or you might encounter someone who's suffering and think, well, they got themselves into that mess. Or perhaps, why should I endanger myself for someone else's bad choices? We judge them. And we judge them because we feel superior to them. Because of this superiority and entitlement, we don't think we should have to suffer, let alone intentionally choose to join in the suffering of others who made poor decisions. I'm sure some of you can think of someone who maybe needs to hear this. If that's you, perhaps you're the one who needs to hear it. The person who thinks of someone else who's entitled is likely also entitled. Because if you weren't entitled, you'd be so aware that every good thing was given to you and how your life has essentially been about you and perhaps your family, that you would immediately recognize your own lack of gratitude. Because you're either grateful or entitled. There's no in between. Were you grateful for finally finding that parking spot after driving around for 10 minutes this morning? Or was it just annoying? A compassionate person, one who suffers with others, is someone who deems others as more important than themselves. They realize that what they want most and need most is not to get things done, but to get God. And so, they want to know Him. To know God and experience His love is to become like Jesus, to follow His lead, do what He did, live how He lived, so you can love how He loved. The love that He showed was filled with compassion and kindness, never judging, always making space for grace. As you learn who God is, you learn more who you are, beyond all your roles and identities. You'll begin to realize that you've judged others way more than you've recognized, and you'll learn that when you judge others, that is, to lay down a negative verdict, you're really judging yourself. You're just as guilty. You'll also realize this principle. Everyone does the best they can with what they have in their heart. Think of the person who's hurt you the most, or the one you haven't been able to forgive. What I'm saying is that person, in the moment they hurt you, was doing the best they could with what they had in their heart. I want to make sure I'm clear here. Some of you have been hurt, and I'm not saying that what they did was okay or that there shouldn't be consequences. I'm just explaining human behavior. If you want to experience the joy that comes from God's love, then you need compassion to join in and suffer with others. This is incredibly hard to do if you're judging them. However, if you realize they're doing the best they can with what's in their hearts, and that if you had their background, their childhood, their wounds, their fears, their beliefs, you would have said or done the exact same thing they did. When you realize that, then you can have compassion. What this principle says is that the human heart, like the laws of nature, acts according to the resources available to it. Whenever someone, including yourself, acts in a way that's painful or hurtful, it's because they lack resources in their heart, such as love, joy, or peace. They're looking through a self-centered lens of fear or pain. Their options are few, and the ones they see are not good ones. We judge people and are unable to forgive them because we don't understand how they could do such a thing for no reason. What I'm saying is that there is a reason. And when you understand this principle, it will reduce your judgment, increase your compassion, and help you live with peace and joy. Henry Nouwen put it like this. Through compassion, it's possible to recognize that the craving for love that people feel resides also in our own hearts. That the cruelty the world knows all too well is also rooted in our own impulses. Through compassion, we also sense our hope for forgiveness in our friends' eyes and our hatred in their bitter mouths. When they kill, we know that we could have done it. When they give life, we know that we can do the same. For a compassionate person, nothing human is alien, no joy and no sorrow, no way of living and no way of dying. As you become more humble and compassionate, you learn who God is. You learn more who God is, and therefore who you are, what he's doing in the world, and how you can join in. One of the most powerful ways that you can join in and have more compassion on a daily basis is to become a better listener. Just like in performance and in life, the key to becoming good at something is to have a powerful reason. And if you want to live and join in the glory, you'll need to share in the suffering. If you want to live a life of deep contentment and joy, then you need to have compassion. And compassion can happen in daily life in small ways, like listening well. Here's three ways to help you become a good listener and a good communicator. One, make it your primary goal that when the conversation is over, the other person feels heard and seen, understood and loved, especially if you disagree with them. You can do this by summarizing and paraphrasing, using some of their exact words, what they said and asking until you get it right. Two, pray that you won't bring any of your own limitations into the conversation or try to change them. That's God's role. We all have our own fears and painful experiences that filter the lens through which we see the world. And sometimes the person you're speaking with has been involved. Do your best to listen with a clean slate, with none of your own judgments or baggage. Leave out your opinion unless directly asked, and instead bring a sense of curiosity and non-judgment, asking useful questions. Help them express their thoughts and feelings without trying to sway them. And practice not using the words I, me, or my. Three, keep your energy towards them positive and eliminate any words of conflict like no or but. And eliminate tones of disagreement. The most powerful way to get them to listen to you or make changes in their lives is for them to walk away feeling loved. If they're wrong, allow them to be wrong. And don't interrupt until, at a minimum, you've done a couple things. If they're wrong, or you think they are, but they aren't, first, summarize what they said and how they feel about it. Then ask if you got it right. Keep asking and summarizing until they say, yeah, that's exactly what I mean, and that's how I feel. If you still disagree, you might invite them to consider an idea. You might say, have you ever thought of X, or what do you think of this? If they say, no, Jim, that's ridiculous, or something similar, you can reply, okay, sure, I was just wondering if it might be something to consider. These three keys are a general way to increase your joy by helping you walk in love, not fear, with humility and compassion. Obviously, there's many nuances and situations, like a father speaking to a son would be different than perhaps two coworkers chatting, for example. As you learn and grow, you have more compassion. And with more compassion, you pray to become a better listener so you can hear God's voice and share it with the world. Then, when you talk to someone, just by being with you, they can experience God's love. To live a life of glory means getting your relationships in the right order and clarifying what you want most. Isn't what you want most to live a meaningful, fulfilling life with amazing experiences and deep, enriching relationships where you're learning and growing and making a difference in the world? When you become a great listener and have humility and compassion, you'll realize God is all you need. And then you can go out into the world with infinite power, because there's going to come a time when God is all you have.